वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11. Svayambhuvamanu advises Dhruva Maharaj. Text 28.
Ya
pancha,
pancha
varsho
jananim
tvam
vihaya
matu
sapatnya
vachasa
bhinna
dharma
vanam
gatas
tapasa
pratyag
aksham
aradhya
lebhe
mudhni
padam
trilokya
yat panchavarsho jananim tvam vihaya matu sapatnya vachasa bhinna marma vanam gatastapasa pratyaraksham aradhya lebhe mudhini padam trilokya ya panchavarsho jananim tvam vihaya matu sapatnya vachasa bhinna marma vanam gatastapasa pratyaraksham aradhya lebhe mudhini padam trilokya ya panchavarsho jananim tam vihaya matu sapatnya vachasa bhinna marma vanam gatastapasa pratyagaksham aradhya lebhe murdhni param trilokya. 5 years old. Jananim. Mother. Tvam. You. Vihaya. Leaving aside. Matu. Of the mother. Sapatnya. Of the co-wife. Vachasa. By the words. Bhinna marma. Aggrieved at heart. Vanam. To the forest. Gata. Went. Tapasa. By austerity. Pratyakaksham. The Supreme Lord. Aradhya. Worshipping. Lebhe. Achieved. Murdhni. On the top. Padam. The position. Trilokya. Of the three worlds. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Dhruva, at the age of only 5 years, you were very grievously afflicted by the words of your mother's co-wife, and you very boldly gave up the protection of your mother and went to the forest to engage in the yogic process for realization of the Supreme Personality of God. As a result of this, you have already achieved the topmost position in all the three worlds. Purport. Manu was very proud that Dhruva Maharaj was one of the descendants in his family, because at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva began meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and within 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. Factually, Dhruva Maharaj is the glory of the Manu dynasty, or the human family. The human family begins from Manu. The Sanskrit word for man is Manushya, which means the descendant of Manu. Not only is Dhruva Maharaj the glory of the family of Svayambhuva Manu, but he is the glory of the entire human society. Because Dhruva Maharaj had already surrendered to the Supreme Godhead, he was especially requested not to do anything unbefitting a surrendered soul.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Panchavarsha Jananim Tvambihaya Matu Saputnya Vachasa Bhina Norma Vanam Gatas Tapasa Pratyagaksham Aradhya Lebe Mordini Padam Trilokya. Panchavarsha Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy when he left for the forest to reach the Supreme Lord. The demigods are looking down at human society, and they're making fun of the humans, actually, because people are down here busy making so many plans. We're building investments, we're building buildings, we're investing our time and money and energy and resources in making elaborate plans for our future, but we only live for a maximum of 30 years. Of life, working life. So it's amusing for the demigods to watch this. So much endeavor going on. It would be like for us, we see a mouse or a cockroach, a mosquito, say. Mosquito lives for 4 days, something like that. And he's planning, should I suck blood in here or outside some other place? Do I want, here we get the kind of pure blood, because everyone here takes prasadam. Or do I want blood with fish in it, so then I have to go somewhere else. Or do I want blood with alcohol in it, and I have to go somewhere else. They're making these plans, and they're thinking, how many babies should I have? How big should I make my family? Where should I make my nest? Should I make my mosquito nest in this building or this building? And for us, it's just we can have a laugh at this. They're only living for 4 days. What's the purpose of all this endeavor? So the demigods are looking down at us also. They're just working for 30 years, max. Before that, they're playing. And after that, they're laying. Just drop the beat. Or their children are just playing. And so Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy. He wasn't playing. He was very serious. Narada Muni, also another example of a child who was very serious. The Bhaktivedantas, for example, noted that this child, Akritaha, he is not busy playing like a normal child. And that's very extraordinary. Dhruva Maharaj had the extraordinary qualities of an exceptional child, because when he heard something, he took it to heart. This is another parallel with Narada Muni. Narada Muni sat and listened to the Bhaktivedantas. Not that he wasn't playing, but it's not that he also just sat around and did nothing. No, he took the endeavor to listen to the great sages who are known as Bhaktivedantas. Imagine if a child came to Bhagavatam class and just sat and attentively listened. No one could pay attention to the class. Everyone would look at the child. What child comes and listens to the class like that? 5-year-old child. Never. You won't see it. So exceptional. Dhruva Maharaj was such an exceptional child because his mother-in-law, Suruchi, had insulted him. How is it possible to insult a 5-year-old? They don't care. You call them any nasty name, they just look and smile and go play. That false ego is not developed yet. That aspect of false ego is not developed yet. Personal pride, not me. And you glorify him. You say, "You are the greatest of all children." He smiles and goes and play. It doesn't matter to him. 5-year-old boy. No concept of personal pride. They pick stuff up off the floor and eat. They don't care. Right? Maybe some of you have some experience with 5-year-old children. I'm very familiar with it. I remember picking things up and eating them as the 5-year-old child. So Dhruva Maharaj was not an ordinary child, nonsense child. Nor was he even an especially like cultured child. He was exceptional, beyond expectations. When Suruchi told him that in order for you, you're not qualified to sit on your father's lap, in order for you to sit there, you have to take birth from my womb, he took it so personally that his eyes teared up. And in a state of just such a disturbed mind, he, biting his lip in anger, stormed out of the room and took shelter of his mother, Suniti. He had so much passion because he was a pure representative of the Kshatriya dynasty. He was a real Kshatriya. The nature of Kshatriya is to be fiery. Like Bhima or Draupadi, they are very fiery. So, the Kshatriya blood. Dhruva had this mood. And later, of course, he becomes a great king. He's being glorified here for this quality by Swami Vivekananda, his great grandfather. We're only 5 years old, and Janani Tom Vihaya, you gave up the association of your mother. Which 5-year-old gives up the association of their mother? It's not possible. You separate the child from their mother for 5 minutes, and he's asking, "Where's my mother?" And he's not politely asking. He's crying, "I want my mom." You can't keep them apart for long. The attachment is so strong. But Dhruva Maharaj's commitment to dharma, to his dharma, his swadharma as a kshatriya, was deeper than his age could reveal, than you could perceive simply by looking at his age. He was more advanced. And he demonstrated that his tendency as a kshatriya was deeper than just getting easily angered and proud. If that was the case, he wouldn't have made it into Bhagavad. But he demonstrated the submissive quality that a kshatriya takes shelter of superior guidance and executes his administrative function under the guidance of spiritual authority. That's the real responsibility of an administrator, to take guidance from Brahmana. And so the closest person he had to guru was his mother Suniti. So he approached his mother. Mother is the first guru. So he approached Suniti and asked, "What can I do to sit on my father's lap?" He only wanted to fulfill his role as the next descendant on the throne, as a prince. Dharma. "So what can I do?" he asked his mother in this situation. And she said that your mother-in-law is more dear to your father than I am. What can be done? I think the only person who can help you now is the Supreme Lord. And Dhruva, out of his beautiful innocence, said, "Okay, where's the Supreme Lord? I want to see him." He wasn't thinking philosophically about how the Lord is all-pervasive, or he's the oldest of the old, or how he's the light of the sun and the moon. He was asking flatly, "Where's the Lord? Where can I find him?" And Suniti explained that, "I have been told that great sages seek the Lord in the forest." Immediately went to the forest to find the Lord. Jananin Tvam Vihaya, he left his mother aside and went to the forest. Okay, picture it. He's 5 years old. He was a prince, but he got out of his princely garments and put on the kopina. Just went to the forest wearing nothing but loincloth. Perform yogic process of self-realization, 5-year-old boy.
How he got that thought?
The thought of going to the forest? His mother said, he asked, "Where is the Lord?" His mother said, "I've been told that yogis seek the Lord in the forest." So then he immediately got ready to become a yogi. Find the Lord, because he needed to become a king. And his mother said, "The only one who can help you become a king is the Lord, because your father won't listen to me. He only likes his younger wife, Suruji. I have no influence. I can't change what she said. Your father, King Uttanapad, is henpecked by his younger wife, Suruji. He won't listen to me. Only Krishna can help you now." And where can you find Krishna? In the forest. So he took up the life of a yogi at 5 years old to find Krishna. It shows a nice example of how we can be motivated to seek Krishna for different reasons.
Jigyasu.
Jigyasu. Artha artha arti. Jigyasu. Oh, maybe. And Gyani? Okay. So there's person in distress, person who wants wealth, a curious person, and a person who's inquisitive about the absolute truth, a wise person. He wants to learn about the absolute truth. So Dhruva was distressed because he was feeling that he couldn't live up to his dharma. So he's approaching the Lord. How can I have a kingdom greater than my father's? So there's a little fire mixed in. Because he's a kshatriya, naturally, there will be some fiery ambition for exalted position in society. He wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather's kingdom, the greatest kingdom, in other words. Swayambhuvamana was his grandfather. He wanted a kingdom greater than that. So he performed tapasya, austerity, Prabhupada writes, for 6 months under the guidance of Narada Muni. We're not telling the entire pastime right now. There's more to say about today's verse. Eventually he got darshan of the Lord. That's explained in this verse. And Aradhya Lebhe Murdni Padam Tridokya. He got a position in the place which is the topmost place in the three worlds. That is Dhruvaloka, the pole star. The Lord blessed him that you'll rule this world for 36,000 years. Then after that, you'll ascend to the pole star, which is my personal abode within this material world. Pole star means the North Star. You know the North Star? I don't know what you call it in your language, but it's the one star in the sky. All the constellations are moving. That's how the zodiac is working. There's these houses, zodiac houses. All the stars are rotating. One day the Big Dipper is here. See, I don't know all the names, but I know the English names for them. One day a certain constellation is here. A few years from now, that constellation has moved here. But there's one star which is always in the same spot, around which all the other stars are rotating. That's the North Star. That's the Pole Star. That's Dhruvaloka, which was given to him by the Lord. You rule that place which has never been ruled by any other person, which is the highest place in this material world, the three worlds, the highest planet, and where I personally reside in this material world. It's Vaikuntha here in the material world. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj will go back to Godhead after ruling this planet for 36,000 years. This is in Satya Yuga. So it's not completely bewildering how it can be 36,000 year rule. Dhruva's determination is what he's most often glorified about. So we can say a few words about determination and how it applies to us in our practice of Krishna consciousness. Just as in any situation in this world, not only Krishna consciousness, any time you want something valuable, there must be determination to get at it. Rise early to study. So that we can achieve some successful marks in school. We learn the social skills that are required so that we can network with people and advance in our position in the society, our school, or our workplace. Because if we don't learn these things, then we stagnate and we don't go up the ladder. We have to change our habits so that break out of our plateaus. We rise up to a certain level by our own habits. Our own determination brings us to a certain level, and then we find we can't go anywhere. We're stuck. So then we have to adapt. Change. Either through introspection or guidance from a senior person or a combination of both. We learn to change our habits so that we can grow. This is the same system in sadhana. This is the same system in our service. How we can grow beyond the plateaus of our sadhana. Someone may have difficulty with attentiveness in chanting. And so after doing everything we can within our current way of looking at spiritual life, we reach a plateau, we can't get beyond that, then something has to change in our outlook. Then that understanding will uplift us beyond that obstacle. It may be pride. It may be a misunderstanding of a point. But whatever it is, somehow, either through our personal realization, or especially for those of us who are fallen conditioned souls, deeply fallen, covered by the modes of material nature, it comes from the mercy of the devotees who are living in our proximity and who care for us and who we take shelter of. This determination to grow is required in spiritual life. Determination, sometimes we confuse it with stubbornness. So it shouldn't be confused. Stubbornness is that I want something for my sense gratification and I'll get it no matter what. And if someone takes it away, then I fight. But determination in spiritual life means that I'm applying that same intensity towards service. I truly want to please the devotees and Krishna. And I'll change if I have to do that. I'm serious. This is the most important thing. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitate Korya Aikya Arna Koryamane Ash. Make the words of the spiritual master your life and soul, your very heart. The example of an example of determination is there also that we can be determined to do a certain service, but that doesn't mean necessarily that it will work out exactly as we want it to either. Krishna wants to see us try, but that's no guarantee that things are going to go according to our plan. So we work without being attached to the result. Bhima was going to, for some reason, I'm not sure about the context of why, but for some reason he wanted to become a great singer. But it just wasn't possible for him. So he was practicing every day in the hall of Pandava's palace. He was practicing singing very powerfully every day, but it was a little intolerable. Because he wasn't a singer. Maybe some of us have also encountered this, someone who's practicing very loud, but they can't sing. Maybe some of us have experienced this before. Well, Yudhishthira, he tolerated, because that's just Yudhishthira's nature. He's practically like a brahmana. He tolerated everything. But Arjuna approached Bhima. It was too much for Arjuna. He said, Bhima, why are you practicing here? Why don't you go out into some distant forest and practice there in a secluded area? And Bhima understood what's going on, so he went out to a forest area and was practicing his singing. Secluded forest. But one day, as he was practicing, this elderly man came, washerman came upon Bhima and walked into the area and said, "Oh, it's Bhima, you're here practicing singing. I'd lost my donkey. I'm so happy to find you, but I'd lost my donkey who carries my washing load, and I thought that he was out here. But it was just you singing. So, okay." So then Bhima, he was a little discouraged, and he went home because he sounds like a donkey. He was confused for the donkey. So he went home. That's Bhima's story. He was determined, but it's just not his nature. But at the same time, another time, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhima. Bhima was going to Hastinapur to see Krishna. And Yudhishthira asked him to deliver a message. "Please tell Krishna to come to back to our palace as soon as he can. Make opportunity. I need to meet with him. Can you please remember to tell Krishna this?" And Bhima said yes, but Bhima's very forgetful, unfortunately for him. And so he went to Hastinapur. He saw Krishna. He came back. And Yudhishthira said, "Oh, you're back so soon. You must have told Krishna my message." And Bhima, he just started to cry. "My God, you just asked, my brother asked me for just one thing, and I couldn't even satisfy that one desire of my brother. I'm so selfish. I went there for what my purpose. I went and I came back, and I completely forgot all about what Yudhishthira wanted. How can I do this?" And he began to cry. "Krishna, so how can I do this? Krishna." And so he left. He walked away, dejected. And while he was gone, though, Krishna appeared and spoke to Yudhishthira. Then later, Bhima came back, and Yudhishthira said, "What happened? Krishna came. You told Krishna after all, and he came." And then Bhima, he was very bewildered. And he came, he found Krishna and said, "Why did you come? How did you know to come? I didn't say anything." Krishna said, "You were crying for me. How could I not come?" So whatever qualities someone has, if they're determined to please Krishna, ultimately it will be successful, even if it doesn't work out the way they plan. I thought that singing would be the way to do it, but no. Krishna had another plan for Bhima. But his determination to please Krishna saw him through. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Something to add? Good if we can be in an association of those who are determined already. The more company we keep, like an iron rod goes in the fire, the iron rod then becomes like fire. If we spend time with those who are determined and we serve them, by the force of osmosis, those qualities will come down on us. Those who have those qualities. By serving those great souls who are completely free from vice, great service is done. By such service, Vasudeva Katavruchi, one gets a taste for hearing the qualities of Vasudeva. This simple taste for hearing comes from service to those great devotees, Mahatseva. By association, we get that strength. And maybe the question may also be raised, well, what if I live too far from devotees. I can't spend any time with them. Then, we have to take much shelter of Vani as possible. Vani is the instructions of the spiritual master. That is also association. That's the primary form of association. Even if we have Vapu, even if we have physical proximal association with other devotees living in the same temple, the same community, even then we have to focus on Vani. That's real association. Otherwise you can spend physical time with the devotees, but it won't have the same effect. What does it mean to focus on Vani? It means service. To do service and to do Krishna Katha, talk about Krishna, glorify Krishna, chant Hare Krishna in each other's association. Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur only maximum 4 or 5 times, not more than that. But he's the most intimate disciple. Acharya. Whereas someone else may have lived with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but if the mood is not proper, then the effect is not complete. So in the proper mood of association, humble service and glorification of Krishna, and happy mood, that's essential. That will cultivate all the good qualities of the demigods. That's going on in this Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chanting the holy names. And that's why the demigods want to come down here. They may make fun of the humans for useless planning, for playing and laying. But when it comes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, they're waiting in line. So we're so unreasonably fortunate to be here. We can't deserve it. We have to not waste it, at least try. You're all trying. I'm inspired by you. Thank you for being here. I have to try. Is that okay? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.